الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، الصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط، كونوا قوامين بالله شهداء بالقسط، أو كما قال، وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى، وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. All praise, all glory, complete submission is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds, the one who is in control, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one sent as rahmatan lil alameen, the one sent with khuluqin azim, the one sent with the beautiful Quran to guide us to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to teach us how to be the best human beings and the best Muslims and the best slaves to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal peace and blessings shower upon our noble messenger alayhi salatu wa salam and upon his beautiful family and upon the illustrious and noble companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My respected elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal be upon you all and upon all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world, especially our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, our brothers and sisters in Myanmar, in Burma, in Yemen, in Syria, in Afghanistan, Iraq, Kashmir, and throughout the world wherever they are facing zulm. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them and alleviate their suffering and their difficulty. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. It's absolutely wonderful to be back here after a break of 3 to 4 weeks, during which I travel to the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah and the noble and illuminated city of Madinatul Munawwara, and then on to Pakistan, and then on my return to Italy. And throughout my travels, I'm sure the way that I was feeling was very similar to the way all of you were feeling in terms of our heartache and our connection to the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, and that our tongues very much remain moist with the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our tears were flowing from our eyes in the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect them and will protect them and grant them ease in their difficulty. But in all of this, I'm sure that your minds have been wondering, as of your hearts, as to what to do, how to react and how to behave and how to understand this great massacre, this great ethnic cleansing and this great genocide that is taking place before us all. And I want to give some perspective today and inshallah al-aziz in the following few weeks on how we as Muslims must approach this particular matter, a grave matter indeed. But nevertheless, we must approach it with wisdom, with hikmah. Because whilst our eyes are on our brothers and sisters in Gaza, the entire world's eyes are upon Muslims to see how we react and how we behave, so that they can justify that, look at all of these Muslims, even in European countries and other countries, look at how barbaric they are. Look at how uncivilized they are. Look at how they are reacting and how they are behaving and conducting themselves. Therefore, we must, to the best of our abilities, keep our emotions in check and make sure that what we say is with hikmah, is with knowledge and factual things, and engage people in the correct way, because this is our duty. And I want to give you a simple example that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidah Sumayyah, the first martyr of Islam, she became shahida. She was martyred brutally, as was her husband Yasir. But the Prophet ﷺ had to control himself and his emotions, and had to control the Sahaba ikram, because فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. He was waiting for the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also need to be wise and make sure that we engage in the correct manner and also await the hukum of Allah Azza wa Jal. For us to wake up, for our ummah to wake up, and for the Muslim nations also to wake up as well. So it's very important on how we engage and how we understand and how we share the situation, not just with our immediate family, our children, our community, but also the wider society. At this very moment in time, there are 8 billion voices out there in the world. And everyone has their own opinion. Everyone is shouting, screaming, fighting, arguing, and debating. And everyone says they are right. The people are saying that they are right. Their opinion is right, and they are justified in whatever they want to do. But nobody is listening to the voices that have been suffocated, the voices that have been starved, the voices that have been drowned in the rubble, in the gunfire and in the bomb blast throughout the day and also throughout the night. But I want to reflect here today that we are so used to listening to ourselves, and also so used to listening to other people and listening to the media and listening to celebrities and so many other things and institutions and governments and their lies and their delusions and their deceptions, that we actually forget to listen to the true voice of Allah Azza wa Jal. Listen to the voice of the Quran and listen to the voice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Allah Azza wa Jal reminds us, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِأَعْدَائِكُمْ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ نَصِيرًا. That Allah Azza wa Jal is acutely aware, is very, very intimately aware of all of the enemies and exactly what they are doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our wali, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will give us success. So we need to listen to the voice of not the world, but the voice of Allah Azza wa Jal and the voice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Allah Azza wa Jal also reminds us, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. Don't assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intricately aware of those people who are doing zulm. So today, whilst many of us have been pointing the finger, and rightly so, we have been pointing the finger at the aggressors, at the government of Israel, and for their policies and their treatment and for their massacre and for their open jail and for all of the things that are taking place before the eyes of the entire world, that is but one finger that we are pointing. What I want to do is take us all upon a journey of reflection and ask ourselves, what about the 4 fingers that point back to us? Because it is the lack of our action, or it is the lack of our power and us speaking up for the last 75 to 100 years that has enabled them to do what they are doing. Where were the Muslims in Iraq or Afghanistan or in Yemen or in Syria or in Palestine? Where were the Muslims in the fall of the Ottoman Empire? Where were the Muslims in the Balfour Agreement? Where were the Muslims in the Peace and Sykes Agreement? Where were the Muslims in all of these places? Yes, we rightly so point the finger today, but we also have an onus of responsibility, because these 2 billion Muslims, we also will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the action or lack of action that we have done or not done throughout our lifetime. So it's not just as straightforward as pointing and shouting and screaming, but we need to fix ourselves, and it must begin with us. It must begin with us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That nations will not change, governments and societies will not change until we as individuals change. How much zulm have we been doing on ourselves? How much zulm do we allow to happen within our own homes when husbands are beating up their wives? When we see zulm and injustice taking place between our own children, when we see siblings fighting over inheritance, when we see people falsifying statements and documents to take the wealth that is not owned to them, when we stay quiet, when we see an injustice taking place, where are we with all of that zulm? But now here we are screaming and shouting. So first we need to look at ourselves, and until we do not correct ourselves and fix ourselves, how will we gain our voice? And then how will our community change? And then how will the countries change? And how will the governments change? We rightly so point the finger at countries that are surrounding Israel and Gaza and Palestine. But who made them the leaders? Who allowed their oppression and their zulm to go on for decades upon decades upon decades? Who is it? It is us. We all have a certain responsibility that we must be accountable for as well. So inshallahul aziz, as I mentioned, over the next few weeks, we will talk about this introspection, this reflection and understanding, and work upon ourselves, because until we do not change our family, the narrative, society and the ummah, nothing else will change. We can shout and scream and protest as much as we want, but we have to do something. And this is why, after the mutilation and the martyrdom of Sayyida Sumayya and Sayyida Yasir, in the time and in front of the Prophet ﷺ in Makkatul Mukarramah, and the torture of the Muslims like Sayyidina Bilal and so many other people, the Prophet ﷺ, he changed the mindset of his people. He strengthened them and emboldened them, and then when they were stronger, then they had the voice and then they had the capability to speak up and to defend the Muslims. But what do we have today? So this is very important for us to go back to the core and look at why these things have occurred and how we can prevent them and change them from occurring. But what I want to start with today is for every single one of us, is to say one thing, which is say Alhamdulillah. I will share some things that we need to say, then I will also share some things that we need to do. The first thing that every single one of us, including myself, needs to say Alhamdulillah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with great conviction and sincerity and devotion, and being immensely grateful for everything that you have. You woke up this morning in the comfort of your home, in the warmth of your duvet, under a roof which you know is protected and nobody is there going to usurp or take away your property. You turned the tap and you had instant cold, fresh water. And you turned the tap to the left and you had instant hot water. And you had a shower and you groomed yourself. And then you were there in the morning, including myself, thinking, what food shall I give to my child today for their lunch? What clothes shall I put on for them today? You had all of these choices and this selection, and you had no worry about anything else. Your life is here and you have no danger towards your life. You have safety wherever you go, here in this country and so many other countries throughout the world. You have peace. You have peace. You know how rare these things are for our brothers and sisters at this very moment in time in Gaza? We have food. Swipe and open your drawers, everything you have, your pantry is within there. You have water, you have clothing, you can choose whatever you want. You can choose whatever you want to wear. You have the warmth of your home and your body. You have your home. You have your bathroom, running water, a place of qadi where you can go and fulfill any of your needs. You have children around you in the morning, in the afternoon, smiling and coming to embrace you. You have wealth which is secure and safe. You have at least some form of justice here in this country. You have a voice, and you have the ability to raise that voice. You have the freedom, and you have your faith. All of these things are worthy for you to look upon yourself and say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, and say, Ashukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what you have is what other people at this very moment in time would die for, and are dying for. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us, Man asbaha minkum mu'afan fi jasadihi aminan fi sirrihi indahu quta yawmihi faka'annama hisat lahu ad-dunya. That whoever wakes up physically healthy, and all of us, alhamdulillah, physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, we are healthy, feeling safe within themselves and secure within their homes and within their societies, and we have enough food for a day, we have enough food for weeks and months. For our brothers and sisters, their food has been cut off, their water has been cut off, their gas, their electricity, everything has been cut off. Prophet ﷺ is saying, if you have any of these things and food for the day, it is as if though you have acquired the entire dunya. All of the blessings of the dunya, you have that. Now think about our brothers and sisters who have none of these things at this very moment in time. So first and foremost, you say Alhamdulillah. You say shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because if you do not do that, then it is very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change your state, just the way earthquakes change the state of an individual within a moment, tornadoes and natural disasters, and similarly this situation that our brothers and sisters are facing in Gaza, their entire lives have been changed, everything has been taken away from them. So say Alhamdulillah and think about your brothers and sisters. And then say A'udhu Billah. Why? Because everything that you have can be taken away in a moment. In a moment. Before the blinking of an eye, Allah can take away your life. Within the blinking of an eye, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could paralyze you. With the blinking of an eye, anything and everything could happen to you. And your afiyah, and your sukoon, and your itminan, and everything will be replaced and can be replaced with calamities and tragedies and sufferings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawuli afiyatik wa fujaati ni'matik wa jami'i sakhatik. This is the dua that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would do, seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, do not remove, take away the blessings that you have given me, and do not change your protection and throw me into all of this, you know, insecurity, all of this uncertainty. Oh Allah, protect me from your sudden punishment and from all of those things which displease you, Ya Allah. Before we can help them, we must help ourselves. We must correct ourselves and our mindsets. We must strengthen ourselves and our iman and the way that we view the world. And then when we have that transformation and change within us and transfer that into our children and our community and our family, then you will see that permeate into society and you will see the effect in the ummah. But if we are ungrateful, we are ungrateful as individuals and as nations. Look at all of the Muslim countries, 2 billion Muslims, and not one of them for the last 3 weeks could give one bottle of water to our brothers and sisters in Gaza. 2 billion Muslims, whether it's Indonesia or Malaysia, Pakistan, India, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Saudi Arabia, any of those countries right there on their doorstep, and they were unable to do this, to provide any water or shelter or food. And there will be surely questioned, but we will also be questioned as well, that how much shukr did you use to do, how much reflection did you use to do, how much ta'awuz did you use to do and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So say Alhamdulillah, then say A'udhu Billah, and then we must also say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. there is no power, no might except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can change the hal, the state of anyone except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must turn to Allah azza wa jal. We must turn to Him sincerely, devoutly in our dua. But if we are ungrateful within ourselves, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظُلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. If we are ungrateful within ourselves and we do not turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, then why will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listen to our dua? When we ourselves are doing zulm against ourselves and other people, when we are taking interest in doing haram and backbiting and stealing and doing so many other haram, do you think Allah Azza wa Jal will accept that dua from your tongue? When your source itself of sustenance and provisions and your clothing and your food, everything is haram? So say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Seek forgiveness for yourself. Seek forgiveness for your brothers and sisters. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect them, to strengthen them, to bless them, to honor them, our brothers and sisters in Palestine and throughout the world, wherever they may be. Turn to Allah Azza wa Jal in earnest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءِ. That it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one, the best one, who responds to the desperate ones, the ones who are needy, the ones who are undergoing so much difficulty and trial and tribulation. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who removes the evil. But we need to know how to approach Allah, how to talk to Allah. When your children disobey you, they ignore you, they shout at you and do so much, do you listen to them? You ignore them. You say, Dafa wada, get out of my sight, I don't want to talk to you. Do you think Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with us and our actions or our inactions and our emissions, omissions for the last 75 years when we saw all of this transpire in front of us? Now we have a voice, alhamdulillah. But where has our voice been and the voice of the Ummah and all of our nations over the last 75 years when it happened before our eyes? When all of the zulm continues to happen, whether in Egypt or Saudi Arabia or Pakistan and all of the other countries, and we just sit there and say, Ki kariye, what can we do? Of course you can do something, but we've stayed quiet. So we need to say, Alhamdulillah, say A'uzu billah, say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But our religion is not just a religion of words. Our religion is a religion of action. So we must also be just. We must also be upright. We must be true Muslims if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given us our salah. Go pray your salah. Go give your zakah. Go do your siyam. Go do your hajj. And that's it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, also be just. You have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do that. Don't just think about the personal ibadat. You have to look at the mu'amalat, the communal responsibilities that have been imposed upon us. Allah Azza wa Jal reminds us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَىٰ بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا وَإِن تَلُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Just listen to this verse. Reflect upon this verse and ask yourselves, where are you in this situation, in this verse? What has your life been the last 25, 35, 55, 65 years when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you truly believe, if you have believed, and you claim to be Muslims, you claim to say Alhamdulillah, you claim to say A'uzu Billah, you claim to say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, persistently, not just once after the 7th of October, not just once every couple of years or when an incident happens, persistently be standing firm in justice. But we fail ourselves on a daily basis. We are not just, like I said earlier on, with our own wife, with our own parents, with our own children. We're not even just with our own employees, with those who are subordinate. We're not just to those people that are around us. And you think that now we can stand up with the same hypocrisy and say, Allah, we want justice. Where has your justice been for the last 25 or 30 years or your entire life? Where has that justice been? If you have been unjust to yourself and to your children and your family, then how can you ever be just to anybody else? If your children have never seen you be truly just and equitable on a daily basis, then why will your children stand up for Palestine or Syria or Yemen or anywhere else in the world when they never saw justice within their own homes, within their societies? Be just, persistently be just witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will question you, even if it is against yourselves. We do something wrong, we hide it. We do something dodgy with the HMRC. We do something dodgy with somebody else, say something, do something, we hide it. We don't even be just to ourselves. We don't want to get into trouble, let alone put somebody else in trouble. Allah saying, be just even with yourselves. You do something wrong, you hold yourselves to account. Allah is watching you. It doesn't matter if there's no CCTV. It doesn't matter if there's no evidence. It doesn't matter if nobody saw or heard it. You hold yourself to account because Allah will hold you to account on the day of Qiyamah. But we fail in the very first step. We are never persistent and we are never just with ourselves. So how can we go around and scream and shout and say we want justice, we want justice? Yes, it is our right. We want justice for Palestine. But Allah will ask you, where was your justice? For yourself. And then your parents. We stay quiet in front of our parents. We see our parents do zulm upon our siblings, do zulm upon our other relatives, do qata al-rahmah, they break up their ties, and they will lie, they will deceive and do so many other things. But we don't challenge our parents. Oh no, we have to keep our head down. No, even if it is your parents, if they do anything unjust outside the parameters of Islam, of Sharia, you hold them to account. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal commands us and instructs us, but we are quiet with ourselves. Me, protect myself. We are quiet in front of our parents. No. They're my parents. How can I challenge them? And we are quiet with our relatives as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just stop there. He goes, doesn't matter if somebody is rich. It doesn't matter if somebody is poor. You need to stand up for justice. We go to Pakistan, we go to our home countries, and we have people with wealth, people with affluence, people with power and influence, and they say something and we know they are wrong, they are unjust, but we'll put our head down and walk away. Kika here, this is what we'll say. Our reaction, what can we do? And we'll walk away. Did you not have a tongue? Did Allah not give you a tongue? Did Allah not give you a mind? Did Allah not give you ability? Some ability, financial, intellectual, some other ability to speak up at least. But no, we just walk away. If you've walked away from injustice all your life, from your own self, from your parents, from your relatives, from the rich and the poor, then how dare we say we need to stand up for justice for other people? So this is why I said at the beginning, we have to begin with ourselves. Yes, we are pointing the finger, and there's no doubt that finger should sternly be there and remain there. Look at the four that are pointing back to us. إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ. Do not follow your personal inclinations. This is what we do. What's best for us, what's best for me, what's best for my brother, what's best for my izzat and for my honor. All of these things, we just follow our whims and our desires and we leave justice, we walk away from it. The Prophet ﷺ even said to his own daughter that even if you were to steal, I would cut off your hand. The Sharia is applicable to everybody. Justice is for everybody. We do not pick and choose. We do not follow our whims and our desires and our inclinations. أَنْتَ عَدِلُوا, be just. And if you distort your justice or your testimony and you refuse to stand up, then know indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا, is well aware and he's watching and acquainted and know exactly what you are doing. So there is so much for us to reflect upon ourselves. Many people have said that none of this happened in a vacuum. There's no doubt none of this thing happened, whether with Hamas or the government of Israel, etc. None of it happened within a vacuum. But what have we been doing? We've been living in a vacuum. We've been living in a bubble. And here we are now saying we want this. So there's so much for us to reflect upon, so much for us to say, and so much for us to do. We need to speak up, and we need to stand up, and we need to be responsible the way Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to be. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله. The believing men and the believing women, who are they to one another? They are awliya. What does awliya mean? It means helpers. It means supporters. It means friends. It means protectors. This is what we are to one another. Al-Muslim wa al-Kul Muslim. We are the brothers of one another. This is who we are. What do we do for one another? Doesn't matter. We don't look at the flag. We don't look at the race. We don't look at the tribe. We don't look at all of these things. We look at Iman. But even within this society, within this masjid, we see people from different communities and we're like, I don't know whether I should interact with that individual, or look at how he's trained, look at how he's dressed. Where has this racism come from? Where has this discrimination come from? Not from the Quran, not from the Sunnah. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. We are the helpers, the protectors, the friends of one another. And we do what? We enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. This is what we do first. Look at the sequence of this ayah, that we enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, irrespective of gender, of class, of race, of ethnicity, etc. Because of our iman, we are all equal. Only after we have done amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, then وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. Then we establish the prayer, and then we give the zakah, and then we do all of these things. But look at what we do. We've left our brothers and sisters, they're in their country, they let them get on with whatever they need to do. It's got nothing to do with me. This is how we behave. And then we just carry on with our salah and our zakah. No, Allah has given us a very clear order, a very clear sequence of how we need to live our lives. Then establish the prayer after you have done the first. Then give your zakah after you have done the first. Then obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then and only then will you receive the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. We are all beseeching the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon our brothers and sisters without a doubt. But Allah is saying, do 1, 2, and 3, and then I will give you 4. We will say, no, we want to go to 4. We don't want to do 1, 2, 3, Allah. As they say in our language, study Ganga Ulti. You know, the river Ganges goes upside down. The river Thames flows in a different way. No, follow the sequence if you want success. Follow the manual if you want success. But we have left the manual. We are just screaming and shouting, not controlling ourselves and our emotions. Say things in a particular way and do things in a particular way. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us in a beautiful hadith of Sahih Muslim, Al-Muslimu akhul muslim la yazlimuhu wa la yuslimuhu. That a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, similarly with a sister. He neither wrongs him nor hands him over to the one who does him wrong. We have been doing zulm upon ourselves, and we've allowed zulm upon our brothers and sisters, and we've also said, here, go and do whatever you want to do. Is this the type of Muslims that we are? مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ. That if anyone fulfills the need of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ, will fulfill his needs. If anyone relieves a Muslim of his troubles, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve his troubles on the day of Qiyamah. This is what our deen teaches us. Wallahi al-Azim, I'm standing here in the masjid, in the minbar, when I was doing the tawaf around the Kaaba on my Umrah, I remember the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, narrated by Sayyidina Amr bin As. And he mentions that he was with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was doing the tawaf around the Kaaba. And he said to the Kaaba, he addressed the Kaaba, spoke to the Kaaba, and he said, how pure are you to the Kaaba? How good are you? How fragrant are you? How beautiful are you? How exalted are you? How sanctified are you? This is what he said about the beauty and the majesty of the Kaaba itself, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pure, good, fragrant, exalted, beautified, sanctified. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah Azza wa Jal, who has my soul in his hands. He took an oath upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blood of a Muslim and the property of a Muslim is far greater than you, O Kaaba. But here we are spending millions of pounds, 133,000 pounds each year on the Ghilaf of the Kaaba. We're spending millions of pounds upon the doors and gold and so many other things upon the Kaaba and dressing the Kaaba, and millions of pounds on doing so many other things. Whereas the blood of Muslims is far more sanctified and sacred than the Kaaba itself. Where are we as Muslims? How have we lost our way? So we need to say so much, and we need to also do so much as well. And nothing will change until we change ourselves. So inshallah, Al-Aziz, we will continue with this discussion and this reflection inshallah in the next few weeks. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullah khaira. Chand elanat aap hazrat samat farmaye.